Hey, yo, what's up? This is Cookbook, the West Coast Puerto Rican, and you're listening to the Hip Hop Digest Show with King Killer, Kurt G, and E Green. Turn it up and listen to that reel, that reel, that reel, that reel, that reel.
You are some kind of quick study. You got to talk, the official manner, and the coldness down just like that.
Look, I just came from the morgue at Alcorn. They got 8 dead niggers stretched out over there, all dead from poison rot gut whiskey made somewhere up around here. Let's not waste any time playing these dumb word games. You've been running around all this county all the time, shooting your mouth off about how you want to help your people. Well, I'm trying to give you a chance. You know, that last sheriff, he wouldn't have given a damn about those 8 bodies. They weren't his favorite color. I care. Whether you help me or not, I'm going to do something about it. Do something about it. Do something about it. Do something about it. Do something about it.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And it's E Green. Here we are, brothers. What's up?
What's good.
Extra happy recording day.
Yes, extra happy.
Damn, extra. I'm gonna see why. Maybe because y'all been up for a while.
Yeah, your ass just woke up out the bed and shit.
Yeah, no doubt. And it ain't that I'm happy, because after the show and shit, I'm engaging in some serious Home Depot shit. So
yeah, this nigga's whole side of the basement lights is out.
Ooh. So, gotta get that Bob Vila on, huh?
Yeah, no doubt. So I'm gonna be dealing with that. But anyway, let's get right into this big show.
I see it. The New York High class.
I see it.
Repping my city.
I see it. Hey, yo, we gonna talk about a little bit of York politics later.
Let's go.
First topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Takahashi. Is that correct?
6ix9ine.
6ix9ine.
Skittles.
Takes aim at Ludacris. Your boy 6ix9ine is known for his many beefs, but now he's taking aim at an Atlanta legend. See, Ludacris was on that Nick Cannon show Wildin' Out, where the skit goes Takahashi asking him who would he sign on the label first, himself, 6ix9ine, played by an actor, of course, or Nick Cannon. Your boy Ludacris said, "Oh, I think I'm gonna sign Nick Cannon first, because I don't know how long you gonna be around."
Okay, that's where it started.
Oh, so okay. he took a shot over there.
So, but again, it was Wildin' Out. It was a
it's comedy.
It's a sketch show. So, but in any case, your boy got mad. So, he clowned Ludacris, 6ix9ine, that is, on the following reasons. First, he said the rapper roasted Ludacris for his verse on Justin Bieber's Baby. Okay, I probably can agree with that. And then he clowned Ludacris's age. That means for all of y'all motherfuckers, including myself.
We older than Ludacris.
Yeah, but
yeah,
still.
Yeah, we older than Luda.
And Luda's old to him.
Yeah, he's an old nigga. But if you live long enough, you're going to be an old nigga too.
Good luck.
He goes on to...
Yeah, good luck with that.
He goes on to say the following, Luda... And these are quotes from the article. Luda, you bum ass, pussy ass, Fast and the Furious geek, 6ix9ine said. Suck my motherfucking ills knack. Ludacris, you irrelevant motherfucker. And then one more, just for the cherry on top. You TV host, bitch, you can't sell a fucking record right now to save your life. Your boy 6ix9ine Takahashi with extra suey sauce is heated, my nigga.
Skittles.
Well, this brings up a quick short memory about us a couple of weeks ago, or me at least, talking about that story, that grocery situation. But you didn't hear me with no hate on Luda's music or his career, nothing like that. So I'm gonna say that the young kid was wilding, yo, and clearly in his feelings. You know, like you said, it's a comedy show, right? It's sketchy. Everybody gets clowned on there,
right? Yes.
So for him to take it to that level of, what do you say, King Killer? Vitriol,
my nigga.
Yeah, he was definitely spitting venom.
Yeah, he got his feelings deeply, and for what?
Well, and to end the story, your boy Ludacris was real lovely in his response. Only thing he did is post a picture of that nigga just looking stupid and just having one of them emojis, like dying laughing. Like, Luda is not bothered by his stinging comments one bit. Like, you know, it's almost like, damn, did you see that ant go by? You mean nothing.
Luda probably got a lot of money off them Fast and Furious geeks and that Bieber verse and whatever else Luda be doing. So he probably ain't worried about that shit.
Yeah, but let's go here. Since let me be the one to go here. See, Mr. Skittles, Mr. 6ix9ine, Mr. Takahashi, Mr. Bad Sushi, as you like to call him. You, sir, make a living off of going off on people. Rants. What do you call them? You didn't know what they were? Trolls?
Yes.
This nigga is a living embodiment of a troll. That's what he does.
Yeah.
Just to start shit with people. So after what he said, I get it that he took a shot at you first, but it's a comedy show. So why'd you take it that deeply? But yo dumbass, as he said, you might not be around that long. Because the shit you be getting yourself into, brother, and all the fucking venom you be spitting and all the negative energy you bring around yourself, nigga, yo ain't got long to be here. I understand why he said what he said. So you need to heed what he said and take it like, damn, everybody thinks I'm gonna get killed before I even be an old man in this game. So just take it as, fuck it, all right, they were just clowning me. Don't start acting like the little kid that you are and tripping.
Well, I got an answer for that, and this may give a full look into 6ix9ine, and because I knew you were going to take it that way, Kurt G, I thought about you. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest, 6ix9ine's manager says that the world that used to have class and integrity are dead. So this is coming from 6ix9ine's manager.
Treyway?
Yes, Mr. Treyway. He said, we live in the greatest country ever.
He's just as bad as 6ix9ine be.
In my opinion, that one of the rights and freedoms that are afforded us is freedom of speech, Mr. Treyway explained. I think Mr. Takahashi is exercising those rights very well. And he's not the only person or not the first person to start trolling. He's just become very good at it. The manager also goes on to say the 20-year-old rapper, well, this is the article, the 20-year-old rapper has exchanged heated words with many of his contemporaries, including Triple Red, Ludacris, Vic Mensa, The Game, YG, just to name a few. Some of the feuds have included vague and not so vague threats. However, the manager says, he argues no one should bite their tongue out of fear, whether it should be physical or financial harm. This young man, Mr. Takahashi, is getting horrible advice from his management team.
Because they're making money off of this dumb shit that he's doing. So they don't care. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Okay, but the problem is that, unfortunately, now I'm not talking about just regular rap troll shit. Oh, your lyrics are whack or you can't sell many records. I don't care about that. That's rap record shit. So what? We're talking about some of the shit that he's getting into when you gotta have special protection in jail, okay, for fear of your life. Apparently, he's booked at Jay-Z's Made in America festival, where Jay-Z and the organizers have already came out and said that they're taking out extra security for Mr. 6ix9ine's safety, as well as any innocent bystander that may have been harmed from any local thugs who are trying to make a point and get at this nigga.
I wouldn't even put that nigga on my bill.
Unfortunately, why isn't his management saying, okay, I understand that regular rap troll shit. You know, you could call Luda old man, you could say he ain't selling records, and you can clown YG and all these other niggas, but a lot of that shit he does in the name of gangs. And unfortunately, in hip-hop, not so much hip-hop, but in rap music, that gang shit comes with a different type of connotation.
A new breed of nigga.
It's not a new breed of nigga.
I'm just saying that it comes with that new breed of nigga mentality. And a whole lot of these young niggas that ain't even part of a gang but just want to be gang affiliated, want to claim a gang, just do dumb shit in the name of a fucking gang.
Washington, D.C. Saturday morning reference. It's slackademic.
B, it's academic, but Biggie and Tupac fatalities are due to just ridiculous gang shit. I don't know what level. I don't know all the ins and outs about that gang shit. I just know that, and they're not the only ones. Just dumb shit. Just doing dumb shit.
Well, that's just who they are at the root, B. Right. That's who these people are.
Right. And
it don't matter what they're doing. They could be construction workers, and they're going to be doing dumb shit. So they're just infiltrating the rap game.
Well, what about the responsibility of 6ix9ine's management?
Well, there is no responsibility.
There is no responsibility for them. The only responsibility is Twitter to make him money, and it's working right now. So whatever he's doing to make money, they're going to keep saying, do that. That's what you do. Fuck these niggas. Don't be scared. Don't fuck that scared shit, nigga. Fuck, say what you want to say. We got your back. Don't worry about it.
Can I give a precautionary tale?
My man.
To Mr. 6ix9ine. So you are a part of that group where it's all this bullshit is surrounding you, right? It's surrounding you. When you die, nobody's going to give a fuck. You're going to be forgotten in a few weeks. Just like, unfortunately, the other young man that terribly and tragically passed away or was murdered just maybe a month and a half ago. There was a week where he was like super famous. His records, oh, everybody was feeling him. I haven't heard the word, his name, in since then. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yes.
Well, I have heard his name, but yeah. I've heard his name in relation to watch this happen to 6ix9ine. That's why I've seen his name.
I'm just saying.
But that's not good company to be a part of. But that's where he's headed, and his management team is going to soak it all in. They're going to get rich after your death for those few weeks or however long it lasts off a couple deals that they make for your music, and you're going to be gone, and they're going to be on to their next dumb nigga.
I tell you what, you know, after Biggie and Pac, I think both coasts said to themselves, you know, it's time to cool this shit down. It's ridiculous.
And unfortunately, that didn't happen before they died.
Right.
But it ain't even about Coast anymore. It's
saying is the lesson that 6ix9ine and his management team aren't taking the lesson of an unfortunate murder and saying, you know what, maybe we better ease up.
But see, that's because the mentality of niggas like this, B. Let me give you a little insight into the mentality of niggas like this. These are these type of niggas, B. A murder happens every day. Regular niggas get murdered every day, B. Fuck that shit. Just because that nigga was famous, that don't mean shit. Niggas get murdered every day. That's how they think. So they don't give a fuck.
So his management team doesn't care about him, the individual, the human.
Nah, not at all.
Wow.
And apparently there's no one in that circle that's trying to quell that shit because he's... I mean, I know, again, it's Luda, and we're not sitting here saying, oh, well, Luda's going to get at that nigga. We're not saying that, but everybody ain't Luda, yo.
Well, I'm only saying that, yeah, you can get away with that regular troll rap shit.
And I mean, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, and some of the more egregious things, like, again, the gang talk. Like, I remember, Swerve, you got on my ass, you know, when I was semi-supporting, or maybe I was fully supporting this whole go up to Calabasas, talk, and get Kanye.
You know I'm not with that.
I know you're not. And I was so upset at Kanye for being on 45's team, yo, that I just, like, fuck that nigga, yo, just consequences.
Right, slavery is a choice.
Right.
Right, all that shit.
I was upset about that, you know what I mean? But, you know, in retrospect, you know, no, I would not want anything to happen to Kanye West over situations like that. But this ain't something removed from gangs like Kanye West was talking about. This cat incites and talks that I don't know what gang, that blood shit, I don't know what gang he belonged to, but he claimed that shit. He claimed he a boss. He a OG in that shit.
Right, he's surrounded by niggas that's part of that shit. Even if he's not really a part of it, he's surrounded by niggas that's part of that. And they claim to have his back on whatever he does. But see, that shit don't cover you everywhere you go. You know what I'm saying? So you got to be... I don't want to live with my fucking neck on a swivel. I don't want to... Everywhere I go, I got to be watching my fucking back 24/7. That shit ain't cool. And that's where he's at right now. Everywhere you go, nigga, something might fucking pop off.
So, yo, shame on his management team. And, you know, boy, we'll stay tuned. Let's keep it rocking. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, now be careful here. Listen carefully. Making a tight beat rap productions have become a legit career path. Now, people listening might be saying, what the fuck are you talking about? Making a beat type. Now, for those of you who aren't producers, you don't know how that works. There is types of beats. So let's say you're a young producer and you want to get noticed, right? And so what you do is make a beat type. Who's the hot guy out there? Okay. The Northern Blackface boy. This is a Drake type beat.
Yeah, those have been around for
okay.
a minute.
They've been around for a minute, but I'm just educating folks. Migos type beat. Okay. But apparently that has been around for a minute, and we know about that because it's not new. You know, I read the copy and they were kind of like, well, this is the new shit. I'm like, no, not necessarily. I remember when the cats were like, you know, Public Enemy type beats. There were all kinds of groups trying to get the organized noise of the Bomb Squad. And Timberland was a guy who people were biting off his style regularly. Okay? But the copy goes on to say, an overlooked undercurrent of contemporary rap production is centered around a singular phrase, tight beat. Aspiring producers emulate the style of a super producer, hoping the fans like it, and more importantly, that themselves can make money off of it. They post it on YouTube and say, tight beat, etc., etc. Probably one of the most famous type beats are Designer's Panda, which originally was uploaded to YouTube as a Meek Mill Ace Hood type beat. The term type beat, the young producers credited all the way back to SoundClick, when they used to push all the beats up on SoundClick and try to sell them online. I look at this and I say it's one of the reasons why hip hop is so stagnated. You know, the tight beat culture. Anybody who's successful, and I always said to myself, I can't really blame the Zaytovens and the Mike Wills. They created a particular sound in a lane that didn't exist before them. So you got to give those guys the credit. But every other biting ass little fucking pimply face internet trolling ass young buck.
Tell them how you really feel, fucking, nigga.
Nah, I'm just saying it's
damn,
just.
Damn, Tekashi.
He ain't call no name, though.
I'm just saying, man. You know, all this biting is just, I mean, I'm getting back to the original rules. And it's biting. And if biting really didn't exist at the commercial level the way it was, then cats would be out there plugging their sound or their take on the freshness. You know,
nigga, please, you work for UPS.
Right. Niggas know that if that's the sound that's making money, and let's say you hear that sound on the radio 100 times a day, the same sound over and over and over again from the Northern Boy.
Blackface Northern Boy, that
Blackface
is.
Blackface Northern Boy, as you say. You are going to try to imitate that if you want to try to make a little money in this game. You say, okay, Blackface pays fucking $100,000 for a track. Well, damn, if I can get us different, if I can make that type of beat and get niggas out here that can't afford to pay that type of money for a track and charge them $1,000 for a track, well, goddamn, I'm going to make a little bread out here.
Damn. So, I hear the Beverly Hillbillies?
No, I was thinking about something you said pregame about Shout the Diff, who was asking what type of beats that were playing at last week's show. See, Diff, shout to you, but they were different beats. They were hip-hop. I mean, not hip-hop in the way that you're used to hearing it, no doubt. But that's the reason why I put them back there. I was like, oh, shit, this is totally different. This is totally different. I could have got 60 minutes of trap so easily and placed it in the background, but why?
that part.
That part.
So, you know. But anyway, shout out to the producers out there. You know what I'm saying? I see Donald Trump and the other guys out there really representing heavy for the real producers out there. So, again, I'm just saying that's just my two cents
and
on.
Just so. Wait. Just Donald, so there's no mistake.
With a G.
He said Donald.
Yes, with a G.
With a G.
Put an extra emphasis on G.
Of course.
Not 4-5.
Right, but in any case, but shout out to him as well as the other producers out there, Cookbook and everybody else. Yo, you know, that's we need that in hip hop. We need the freshness. That's just to give you another equation that the young boys have a culture that, as they're calling it, a tight beat and with the name behind it, you know, Rick Ross tight beat. Yeah.
Right, but
that definitely ain't new.
That's definitely not new. They've been doing that forever. But to clear a little things up, hip hop, we have to clear it up and straighten it out now. Hip hop is fresh and stays where it's at. You're talking about commercial.
I'm talking about commercial rap. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes. I don't have to clear that every time. Are people really who listen to this show going to be confused about that?
I'm just making sure.
I'm just asking.
Just making sure.
Every now and then, somebody might peek in to the show and not understand. So, you know, you got to give them disclaimers, B.
We don't want nobody to be like, this nigga know what the fuck he talking about.
and B, there's a lot of times I don't. So, you know, let's just be honest.
Yeah, we're honest about
I always know what
that.
I'm talking about sometimes.
See, you said it the other way.
All right, well, then let's keep it rocking. Next time, I'm going to
wait a minute, I might know what I'm talking about then.
All right. Next time, we're going to Hip Hop Digest is Hip Hop's Unhealthy Obsession with Numbers. This all comes about the poor Queen album that debuted number 2 on the Billboard charts. And she
such
was
a pity to come in at number 2. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
No.
Oh my.
Failure.
Her checks are going to stop right now.
In any case, the music industry is built on numbers, both real and manipulated. So anyway, the person who writes the article goes through a brief history of numbers. There's a much longer period of time when we can talk about numbers, but a particular brief history of numbers. He says Jay-Z can relate. His last two solo albums were able to receive platinum plaques pre-release. Okay, Magna Carta and 444 through partnerships at Samsung and Sprint. So Jay-Z is able to work the loopholes in the number system for pre-release platinum. That assures him bragging rights and to say he does not flop. Again, today's numbers are rife with loopholes that you can manipulate to make sure you don't lose.
But everybody doesn't have the corporate connections to actually be able to do that type of shit.
Well, this gentleman goes on to say he calls the Blackface Northern Boy a actual, let me get the verbiage right here, a chess master at every decision on manipulating the numbers. Now, I don't see where he's so much of a chess master other than he's more like a demagogue. Because people who don't even really, they get on to see about the album, but they're not really into the album. I'm sure of that. They're into the politics. They want to be a part of lifting Drake over the hump of what they perceived as a slight for their generation. So I see Aubrey as a demagogue, not as this chess master and to be able to brag on a billion streams. I believe. And that's just me. I believe that a lot of kids run to that as a generational statement, not so much that they're into your boy. But of course, that's my strong opinion on the other side.
Real quick, let me get a little bullet point in there.
My man.
And I'm just asking your opinion. We don't know, but I'm asking an opinion. Do you really think that it's that man who makes those decisions, or do you think it's the label who makes those decisions? Because that's a lot to fucking think about. As far as an artist, and I know that there are some brilliant artists out here, obviously, that can plan and promulgate and put themselves in incredible situations. But at the end of the day, the machine is really doing this work. Don't you agree?
Well, in the two cases that we brung up, Hov who is a pretty brilliant guy and a pretty brilliant businessman. Yeah. It's easy for him to say, well, okay, I'm recording an album. I'm ready to put out an album first. Trust me, Sprint and Samsung knew well in advance that he's going to have an album ready. Okay, so what he does is exploit the loopholes. Now, of course, he has a team behind him. The same way with the Northern Boy. He also has a team. But again, his team functions more from a demagoguery standpoint in the fact that you don't want Pusha T or you don't want rapper from someplace else because the minute you're seen as weak, or the minute you're seeing, so you demagogue it. It's a cultural movement, which is, and companies don't give a fuck. Cultural movement or not, I get to brag on 1 billion streams. You don't get to do that. I'm number one. And you know what I mean?
Slid that in there.
I see you did, but I'm gonna say this, since I am that guy, it is a little bit of both. Yes, him playing chess with his team over there, OVO. They're playing chess and also with the demagogue status, both of them. I think okay. It's a little bit of both. And it, together, it forms the billion streams.
Indeed. He also goes on to give some other brief history. He also goes on to say, talks about Lil Wayne's 6th studio album, The Carter 3, reportedly sold over 1 million albums in the opening week, back when you used to have to sell physical. But the legitimacy of the sales numbers are in question due to a common belief that Cash Money Records pre-bought copies of the album in bulk as an investment to increase Wayne's mania. Now, that's a very interesting part of the history. And if Wayne, let's say they don't do that and Wayne debuts at 300,000, are we talking about Wayne as a legend today?
Maybe in a different way. I mean, you got to admit,
legend
as far as putting out music, but not as far as the sales greatness, nah.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't think we're talking about Wayne as a legend with that. If he debuts at 300,000, which is a great amount of numbers, this is back when you used to have to sell product, okay? Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's a lot of other guys.
I think
you'd
be like
guys.
Master P and them.
Right, there's a lot of other guys. Right, you know, I don't know, but it was an investment in Wayne mania, meaning that the $1 million or the million sales meant so much to fans, you know, that they're being part of something cultural.
So it meant more than the actual sound, huh?
It meant more than the actual sound. And still, you know, in hip hop, at least from if you're like me and you deal with the physical, still you deal with records and you deal with old records. I still see a lot of fucking Michael Jackson records, okay? And I even dip into the CD department every now and then to see what's jumping, okay? I have never, ever seen the Carter 3 in bulk the way I see Jackson or the way I see
Eagles.
They
all bought up, son?
No, I'm just saying. That makes me wonder.
Ain't no market for it, B.
Right, it just makes me wonder. I don't see those albums like that, you know? From Wayne, I don't see him. I'm not just saying him. There's some other guys up there, too. He does sort of try to bring the balance to it. The next portion that he used with the fashion, hip-hop's fascination with numbers, is the week of September 11, 2008. The big discussion was who would win the battle between Kanye West's Graduation and Curtis. Kanye West winning the Graduation, selling about 950,000 copies to Curtis's 600, almost 700,000 copies. Again, that was something called, people went out to buy Graduation despite 50. Hated 50 so much
that they had to compete.
That they had to go out and get Graduation. Right. Fuck 50. I'm sick of 50. So I'm going to make a cultural statement.
But speaking of 50, there you go. That's one of the original trolls right there.
Well, yeah,
nigga.
Right. No doubt.
And still.
And still to this day, get the strap.
Right. But again, and one more example that he didn't use that I also remember, speaking of 50 Cent, was his first week opening of The Massacre. 1.5 million copies sold. Talk about 50 Cent hysteria. I'm going to be one to tell you, I thought the massacre was okay.
Me too.
But I didn't think it was $1.5 million worth of hotness on it.
Nah, he had some joints on there, but Get Rich or Die Trying, classic.
Right.
Well, all I know is there must have been an OG hollering at Floyd Mayweather saying, don't respond, because that shit died quickly, didn't it?
Maybe so, but the point I'm saying is that, look, again, now in hip-hop, again, I think you have a cultural, what I deem a cultural phenomenon, and I believe that with social media makes it much easier to strike out a blow for, you know, trust me when I tell you, anything that Drake is doing is, I believe, more than 50% is just despite what people like us or anybody who says that Drake is just fuck that nigga. You know what I mean?
Blah, blah, blah.
Right. I mean, you know what I'm saying? There's people out there saying, I gotta support this shit because of them. You know, maybe when we get $1 billion, $2 billion, we can shut them up. Okay, no doubt.
Well, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter how many streams he gets. We're still not gonna say we love this nigga.
Yeah.
You gotta add the auto tune to the voice B.
Sorry. So,
what are you talking about?
Talking about.
So, no doubt. So, let's keep it rocking, yo. Next up, going to Hip Hop Digest. E-Color Cleo.
Uh-oh. He don't even know what you're talking about. That nigga's like, huh?
Yeah. E-Color Cleo. Last week, you mentioned the name. Probably the first time you had ever mentioned the name, but looky what happened here.
Looky here.
Chance the Rapper defends Nicki Minaj. Chance the Rapper goes on to say, I can't imagine what it would be like not to be able to show your frustrations again coming in at number two with actual iniquities and subjugation without being called bitter or angry or a liar or crazy. I don't know what Chance the Rapper is talking about. Again, she's so hellaciously paid. Why should we feel sorry for her, Chance? But this is the King Killer E-Color Cleo part.
Uh-oh, King Killer's getting in there. Where's your spot at?
No, I'm just saying, just swerve. Going into the VMAs last week, a TMZ photographer called Nicki Minaj is saying, I am the new Harriet Tubman. And social media
got it.
Social media took Chance and the former queen to task for that, talking about how the fuck you gonna compare yourself to Harriet Tubman. You don't even know what she's done.
Mr. Layman didn't like that shit. I can tell you that.
I'm just saying. And two, Chance the Rapper as well. Motherfuckers is thinking, okay, now this motherfucker, he's starting to get too big for his britches. Okay, he's defending somebody who sold an awful amount of records and is still going to be paid out the ass. Defending her for what?
If King Killer trying to stop me, it's gonna be some dreadhead niggas in his basement.
Son, I seen you talking about Harriet Tubman last week. Where the? I don't think she's listening to our show, but where did she pull that shit from?
I haven't the slightest, B. But I don't know. She thought she was saving folks or something? Right. I don't know.
There is no comparison. Not even in a metaphor. There's no comparison. It's like, what railroad is she building? Because she didn't start nothing. She just came from the little Kim Foxy Brown tree. She didn't start this shit that she's doing. So I don't see where she's actually doing anything to even compare herself in any kind of way to somebody that put their life on the line on a daily. Well,
this is the same woman who had Malcolm X on the cover of her looking ass nigga shit. So come on.
Well, I guess ultimately what I'm going to say for her and Chance the Rapper, just way too much hyperbole and trying to prove points that just or I'm like, damn. Okay, I know people see Chance the Rapper as a community leader and an organizer, but you need to back the fuck up, Holmes. No, I'm just telling him you really need to back the fuck up because she is not being persecuted on any fucking level, okay?
First, B, wait. You said it just a few minutes ago. It's all about numbers. but it's only one number that motherfuckers is caring about, and it's that number one. When you sell, when you become number two, when you sell enough records to be number two out of what is it, 100? It's 100, right? It's a top 100.
Okay, yeah, sure, top 100.
Because obviously it could go top 1,000 or whatever, but we're talking about the top 100, okay?
Okay.
Then we say, out of that top 100, let's say top 25. And then out of top 25, let's say top 10. You number two, the fuck are you crying for? What is the problem? I mean, she is going all off like she's number 99 on that shit.
Yeah.
B, because this is why she's going off. Because like you said, she's number two. In her mind, and in her team's mind, and everything around her, and her whole career, she's always been at that number one female in the game, in the rap game, that is. Not hip hop, but in the rap game, she's always been the number one female. There's been no competition at all. Right. She's always been at that spot, and everything she's done has been considered golden. She's
7 years in a row, BET Award.
Exactly.
Best female rapper.
She's everything. She's everything. So right now that she's not in that position and there's somebody else hovering around to take that number one queen spot from her, you know what I'm saying?
So,
she's starting to feel it. She's starting to feel it a little bit. So all of this persecution that she's feeling is all from her perspective. She's feeling persecuted because, damn, they used to love me. All I got was praise. Now I'm starting to hear this annoying shit going on. People starting to doubt me, starting to say shit about me that I don't write, I don't do this, and I don't do that. They used to tell me I did everything right.
So then it's a very good analysis. I thank you for that. And then what the fuck is Chance the Problems? What's Chance the Problem? Yeah, what the fuck is Chance the Rapper's problems? Although he is Chance the Problem.
Because he's feeling, he's actually, I guess he's saying he feels for her. I guess in that kind of way. From an outside perspective, he's like, damn, I feel for her. If I was in her shoes, I would probably feel the same kind of way.
Can we cue up the Bugs Bunny? Shut up.
I know, right? That is the perfect cue up for this shit.
Exit stage right.
So, all right, let's keep it rocking. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest, we want to say rest in paradise to Ghetto Boys founding member DJ Ready Red, who passed away this week of an apparent heart attack. Red produced the group's first three albums, 1988's Making Trouble, 1989's Grip It on That Other Level, and the 1990 self-titled debut, The Ghetto Boys, Son. Got a lot of course, strictly veterans of the game who know Ready Red and what he's done and what he has produced. I was very sad to hear of his passing. The Ghetto Boys, you know, their album is one of my all-time favorites. I cannot deny. I love that record. And it's largely produced by him. I felt slighted for him because when they got signed to Def American, Rick Rubin sort of was receiving a lot of credit for tracks that was produced by Ready Red. And I hated that. I was like, yo, shout to Rubin for giving them a platform to do their thing on. But nah, Ready Red was behind the boards. Okay. And also, Ready Red also took a stand against your boy. Okay. This is back in 2013. Red was notably absent from a Ghetto Boys reunions. But he said, I was an artist, and this is a quote from Red, I was an artist and a producer on Rap-A-Lot Records. But when things started to happen, I stood my ground. I have no regrets. All these years later, I see nothing has been accomplished. Jay Prince still has all the money, and everybody's been through a lot dealing with that record company, and I'm glad I got out. Red was 53 years old. We salute you for your contribution to the culture, DJ Ready Red.
Did it like a G.O.
My man.
Yes. Yes, he did.
My man. So you know what you're going to be hearing at the end of the show.
Got to.
For sure.
I'm saying. So that being said, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest. This is some local D.C. shit. So long, Barry Farms. Barry Farms was a historic black community built on land settled by free slaves after the Civil War. 150 years later, in a rapidly gentrifying Washington, D.C., the district has sought to attract the creative class, meaning college-educated millennials with large economic means. Barry Farms was a community with 444 units. They have been bulldozed and now 80 so remains. They are gentrifying Barry Farms. So long, Barry Farms.
Can I give a quick eulogy?
My man.
So, you know, I'm out here, Compton, Brompton, whatever you want to call it. And I saw somebody sent me an email with the fire hoses watering down the concrete so they could tear it up. And I'm thinking, damn, not Barry Farms. But there's a few things that we need to remember about Barry Farms. As we talk finally about how fucked up it was.
It was.
You wasn't fucking around in Barry Farms.
You were not.
That's the hood of hoods.
You was not fucking around. Second thing is, in the summertime, driving down the Suitland Parkway, when you could drive by for them fucking basketball tournaments with thousands of people over there, it was almost like that New York Rucker shit.
No doubt.
That shit was awesome.
Yes.
It was awesome.
Yes, the Barry Farms Summer League, no doubt.
Yeah. Third thing is, during my G-like time, we shot a video over there for some cats. And it was obviously a crime scene. And so me and Wes was putting up these little fake tents, you know, for the bullet shell casings. Dude walk up like, yo, I can let off a few if y'all need some shells. Like, nah, bruh. We good on that. We good. We doing it fake here.
Yeah, no. I mean, Barry Farms. Go ahead, man.
It was a bad place, B. It was a bad place, but it was a... one of them things like you want to say, yeah, it was our bad thing though. But
yeah, I mean gentrification, you know, I'm telling you, it affects so many African American communities out there, and I don't have a ridiculous amount of Barry Farms stories. Only one. I won't even name names because of the nature of the situation. Driving through Barry Farms, you know, not knowing if I'm going to leave out of Barry Farms. Cats in the whip. I can't believe he pulled out a sawed off pump out of this gun saying, yeah, as soon as we find him, I know he one of them Barry Farm crew niggas. It was one of the scariest places ever.
Can't kill it with they selling cocaine out the back stories.
No, it wasn't even that. And to take it back is, and I ain't even had a rodeo that long. But one of my mans and them like, yo, let's get it. I want to go somewhere. I'm like, fine, I'll haul you over there. Not knowing.
As soon as you get over there.
Oh my God.
This nigga sawed off shotgun hand on the pump.
Nigga, let me tell you something. But in any case, Barry Farms bulldozed due to gentrification.
That's crazy.
I don't know what to say about that, man.
All I got to say is that's a lot of good prime property down there, and y'all niggas is fucking it up. It's time for us to take it back. We got to take it back.
What's that metro over there? What's that metro station over there?
Is it the metro station?
It's not Suitland, is it?
No, Suitland's
further down.
Yeah.
But anyway, whatever that metro station is, I wonder if it'll still be fucked up.
Oh, they're fixing out a lot of lines down there, B. They're hooking a lot of shit up.
Well, I, like you said, man, it's fucked up, but I guess to a certain extent, it was our fucked up. So, you know.
Well, and another, not to take away from Barry Farms, but I was talking to my baby, Taylor, and she was like, Daddy, you know they shutting down the, over there where that Magic Johnson Theater shit is over there in Landover. Oh. And she mentioned that to me because when they built it, I was like, give it a year or two and somebody's going to get killed. And it did. It was just a matter of time. You should tear down the Landover Mall and make up a town center like the same element's not going to be there. So,
we'll see. Again, they seem to be getting rid of the bad elements down there. So, we'll see about that. But anyway.
That's gonna take a lot.
But in any case,
all you got to do is raise the rent, B. That's it. That's easy.
In any case, I did some research, okay? In a small town, South York, Pennsylvania, all of that that we were in, there were, at the time that we were coming up, there were three principal public housing developments. Okay. Yeah. There's much more than that now, sorry to say.
Wow.
But there was three principal ones. First, I'll start with the smallest. It was Cadoris Homes with a total of 48 units. That was what we used to call West End.
College Avenue.
No doubt. So, again, shout to them. And then there was Wellington Homes with 72 units out East End, as we used to call it. Okay, this was in the 70s, 80s when we were coming up, of course. Of course. Yeah. And then last but not least was where we all came from.
You Parkway
know I'm
Homes.
Representing
Parkway.
Parkway Homes, and which was the biggest with 187 units.
We were up in there.
We was all up in there. Yes, Parkway. Yes. And it's telling you how the mind works in a town as small as that is, and those little neighborhoods. Sometimes you had issues with niggas out West End because you was from Parkway. And sometimes you had beef with niggas from East End because you lived out Parkway. And vice versa. I'm sure it was a three-way battle to nowhere.
But it was just fighting that was going on.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
There was no shootings.
No. Not at that time.
No. Now niggas is getting knocked off like it's nothing.
No doubt. So I'm just saying, just a quick local public housing story. Parkway, the largest, and the one who represented fully.
Shout out to the Montez Parker.
No doubt. And the glorious families, the Rices, the Sweeneys.
The Montoots.
The Montoots.
I was able to traverse through them all because I wasn't no fighting nigga, so it was all good. And then I moved out West End at the end of my York days, but it was all good for me.
No doubt. And for the most part, me and Kerr G was good because we was the DJs.
Yeah. We started out West End on Green Street and then came out towards Parkway.
Damn, little ass Green Street.
Yep.
God,
that's where we started at.
All right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest. I've been holding this for a hot minute, but I've been waiting for things to develop. Spike Lee's Black Klansman and the Boots Riley's criticism of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you got the Spike Lee movie out, Black Klansman, getting good numbers at the box office, good fanfare, whole thing. You know, congratulations, Spike Lee, no doubt. Your boy Boots Riley, formerly of The Coup, said, fuck that. I got
fuck
a problem
that.
With it.
Celebrity, fuck that.
Yeah, exactly. The filmmaker, musician, and activist who directed his own critically acclaimed movie came out and said that Spike Lee shit was essentially amounted to fabrication and a pro-police propaganda. I'm not going to give away the plot of the movie for those who haven't seen it.
It's a real-life story, so there's no plot.
Okay. That's true. It is a real life story. But according to Mr. Riley, he's saying the main character investigative work primarily targeted, and he means this gentleman's work as well as the FBI primarily targeted black organizations, not the Ku Klux Klan. The FBI's counterintelligence program, I guess called COINTELPRO. I'm sure.
COINTELPRO.
COINTELPRO.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Which illegally surveilled and attempted to smear and sow discredit and discord amongst various civil rights movements and organizations during the 1950s and the 1960s. COINTELPRO was discontinued in 1971. 8 years before the Black Klansman.
Now it's just called the NSA.
Well, in any case. But some of the COINTELPRO practices continue to this day. He's saying that Spike Lee is bullshitting and that basically this organization was really out to destroy African-American, whether it be NAACP or any of them, you know, the Nation of Islam, Black Panthers. I don't give a fuck what it was. The FBI had a concerted effort to smear, discredit, and sow discord amongst those organizations that Black Klansmen, A number one, is maybe not even 1% of the entire operations.
Let me move closer so you can see my face.
Okay.
Oh. boy.
He's getting in, swerving you in. Just, you say.
Another show where we almost made it without Lil Malcolm.
Damn.
But you just had to do it, didn't you? Fucking Millie Jackson just had to do it.
Well, I'm just saying. What's wrong with what he said, B?
There's a fucking thousand things wrong with that nigga said. And I wanted to respect Boots. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to. But it's like, again, fucking black on black crime, yo. At whatever fucking level you want to call it, it's black on black crime. Can fucking Spike make a movie and talk about what the fuck he talked about in the movie? Did Spike Lee say he was going to try to make the whole fucking story? No, the story is about the nigga infiltrating the fucking Ku Klux Klan. Everybody knows the fucking COINTELPRO exists. Everybody knows that the motherfucking J. Edgar Hoover got all that shit cracked off. But Lil Malcolm, relax. This dude makes a fucking movie about a black man talking white to sell shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Did Spike Lee come off and be like, yo, that shit's whack, yo. Fuck out of here with that clown shit. No, Spike Lee didn't say shit. But here you go. And it was a critically acclaimed movie, right, Boots?
Yeah.
Critically acclaimed movie. But look at your premise, though, my nigga. Look at your premise. If we want to get down to the bone, cut all that bullshit out, it was a fucked up movie. You got a black man acting like a white dude, voice-wise, to sell shit. Nigga, go ahead with that shit. Nobody said that it just fucks me up that we just can't just do shit and support each other. If Spike Lee had made a movie that totally was on some bullshit, yes, but this shit was real. This shit was real, and that's all the fucking movie was about. I haven't seen it yet. I want to see it. I can't wait to see it. I also want to see Boots' movie. But goddamn, I'm not going to sit here and tear them shits down, especially publicly, nigga.
So let me ask a question. I got a point counterpoint. Boots Riley, and what he also said in the article is that you got to remember Spike Lee fresh off that $200,000 payment from the NYPD to promote good relations between African-American and police communities.
So do you think Black Klansmen promotes fucking good shit through the community? We talking about fucking David Duke, nigga. That's pulling scabs off.
No doubt. But what I'm saying is Boots Riley is saying, yeah, well, it looked like maybe Spike done switched.
How did Spike switch, my nigga? What was the movie about?
No, he's not talking about the movie. He's talking about what are Spike just receiving a large payment from the New York City Police Department to promote good relations. Maybe he's going to do some commercials. Maybe
it didn't work. I'm cutting you off. It didn't work. Spike Lee was on fucking CNN talking shit. Right, a couple weeks ago. So fuck that.
He said, I took your money and I'm still going to talk shit.
So
off Spike's dick.
So
damn.
So I gotta be, you know, I'm sorry, I hate to do this to you. Since Malcolm is out in full force, I gotta do, what's the goddamn difference? Because there's nobody harder on your boy who's a motherfucker dressing up in dresses all the fucking time and shit. Tyler Perry. Nobody harder on Tyler Perry than Spike Lee about putting niggas in dresses. So ain't that, is that black on black?
Is a fucking problem. That's a problem. Yes.
Is it the black on black's a problem or putting niggas in dresses?
Putting niggas in dresses, B. Period.
So,
because that is this motherfucker's, that's his stick. That's what he does. Tyler Perry has the means to make any motherfucking movie he wants.
No doubt.
Right?
Yes.
But he continues to make these motherfucking Madea movies that have no motherfucking redeeming value. It's stupidity, and I don't give a fuck what church want to come at me. That's that bullshit church shit. Niggas rounding up the bus to go see some fucking nigga dressed in a fucking dress when he could fucking hire an old black, fat black woman to be that shit. Fuck you wanna? He is, ain't no fucking Tyler Perry. It's fucking Madea acting like Tyler Perry. Fuck out of here. Fuck out of here. If Boots wanna say some real shit and talk about that.
Since little Malcolm out, let me poke him right now.
Yeah, I'm saying we might as well poke the bear and shit while he's out.
Poke him while he's out here. So B, let's see here. So what's the difference? That's black on black. It doesn't matter. That's still black on black. Tyler Perry, talking about Tyler Perry movies, is talking about a black-made movie that's black-on-black crime.
So, I'm cutting you off. We mentioned Harriet Tubman a little earlier.
We did.
Tyler Perry, one of them motherfuckers, was trying to go back to the motherfucking plantation.
Damn.
Gotta go.
So what you saying is, so let me try to clarify. So what you saying is, if you're gonna come at an African-American filmmaker or artist otherwise, you have to show cause, meaning that Tyler Perry has zero redeeming value for his movies because basically it's on some keep a nigga in a dress type shit.
Yes.
Versus Boots Riley or even Spike Lee, who to a certain extent, now Boots Riley, I don't know the premise of his movie and I haven't seen it either, but if you saying that he got a brother sounding like a white man to sell shit.
That's the premise of that movie.
I don't know, and I'm just saying this personally, I don't know why he would come at Spike then, given the premise of his movie.
Bingo. Danny Glover up in that motherfucker sound like a white man.
Damn, B.
But I wasn't mad at that, though. I wasn't mad. I didn't even care. I was going to watch the movie and just watch the movie.
Right.
But
right.
If you coming at somebody like that, come on, B.
Your shit got to be above reproach.
Yeah, yes. There's other shit that you need to be worried about.
Yes.
Fuck out of here. Go see Black Klansman again.
Wow. So.
And then go find out about the real story behind that nigga. Or that other nigga that joined the Black Panthers and fucked up the Black Panthers. All that shit. It all exists. But goddamn, can he just tell the story about how this nigga infiltrated the fucking Ku Klux Klan? That was part of his life. There's other shit. Probably cheat on his wife. All kind of shit that men do. That ain't what the fucking movie's about.
Alright, yo.
I still can't get past the fact that Lil Malcolm just Harriet Tubman and killed off your boy.
Gone.
Yeah, blew up spot.
He said, this nigga's got to go.
Yeah, he blew up the spot. All right, well, let's do the world famous Kerr G albums of the week.
All right. This week, we got Black Sheep, Tortured Soul. That's Black Sheep, Tortured Soul.
That's a pretty good album, too.
Not bad. Yeah. And then we got Trife Diesel, Project Pope 2. That's Trife Diesel, Project Pope 2. An instrumental joint is a Mocha Only Concert for One. That's Mocha Only Concert for One.
Mm-hmm. Well, since Lil Malcolm done went off, we're going to try to coast to a nice landing here.
Yes, we could bring it back in the losing a lot of turbulence in this show. Lil Malcolm had the plane flying crazy.
Yeah, that's what's up.
I'm back. He colors back.
All right, well, I guess we'll continue next week. We'll see ya. Peace. Yeah,
maybe I'll start out the show as Lil Malcolm next week.
Let's see if we can give him a break next week.
All right, y'all.
One.
Peace.
I give a fuck about accolades or relationships. My words sharp to dice a pig into bacon bits. A child of God that got love for an atheist. They call a brother constipation. I ain't taking shit. Blazing swift, I'm trying to stack it past the paper clips and make it all the way to the bank, laughing like Jada Kiss. Since the days of Ava Rex, I've been amazing with the way I spit season raw, savor it, dead, the flavorless. Adobo, San Gocho on a solo. But link me with my people, they ain't slacking down poco. Un poquito loco, off the reefer in the soco. Bono, hokey, yoko, ono, put the drums in the chokehold. Missed the tap out, each time I let a rap, I used to call Carl Edison, meddling with the blackout. Beat slam like Stackhouse, laugh out loud at that bullshit. Spit rap circles around the trap house.
Damn. I believe what I specialize in.
Listen, hey yo, they heard some jazzy beats and contemplated shit was sweet. Lyrically, what I deliver, finna lick your feet. Stretched like Richard Lee, style fresh as Mr. Bean. They talking thug, but they funny style as Mr. Bean. Queens, that's where I lay my hat. Absolutely nowhere is where I spray y'all gats. Lord knows what inspired me to say all that. Slay all traps, the words I relay all facts. Trust and believe, ask and you shall fucking receive. Operate like a magician, lick what's under the sleeve. Pulling cards, everybody swear they run in the streets. But they summer's eve frontin' when they blunt it on trees. Not me, see, I'm always me. No apology, I pour a little out for Sean P. Fight from Prodigy. Kick my dollar jewels with hopes to hit the lottery. I'm old to be like pottery, but fire it with godly speech.
Fire. I believe.
what I specialize in. Murderous rhyming, constantly entwining.
A man of many hats, delivering a deadly rap. Jerking my one-eyed monster, call it Fetty Wap. I roast contenders in a minute, flat like Reddy Mac. Just cause they garbage, I don't need to cut them any slack. I'm quite the opposite, chopping kids into lobster bits. Keep popping shit, I might rock your lip with a moccasin. I could continue, but that'd be a waste of oxygen. You ain't worth a silver quarter with a copper ring. You stopping him, nobody question was rhetorical. I keep a verse in the pocket like it was portable. How you a killer, your vocals is barely audible. That's why my spit is impeccable and affordable. Moral of the whole story is I'm nice as hell. I roll and smoke the competition like I'm Michael Phelps. Swimming in a cesspool of sharks and I excel. I know you hate to give me props, but shit, you might as well.
Give it up.
I believe what I specialize in. Murderous rhyming, constantly inclining.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign.
16.
Please take your assigned seat as soon as possible.
Look, I took a flight to Italy. Spain was too far. Next to wifey getting text from my guma. So I relieve the stress. It's like hitting reset. Rub my ear, bay. I whisper who's up. Amalfi Coastal Boats is where I'm letting loose on. All the drama back home is going too far. Ain't no fear, I'm just better than these goofers. Believe me, I got more balls in the pool hall. Drinking goulash where they made it. Amsterdam Bay. Add another payment. We go in Dutch if I never ate it. If we fuck, I bet you never hate it. Just me being underrated. For real, in 3 weeks I'll be back just to make a wedding. Calvin Klein suit tailored just to face the reverend. Just in case he need to see a little taste of heaven. I'm fly, nigga, God's angel blessed him. The flyers move out. Wings stop, pay for chicken wings. Fuel up, we on a new route. Check your compass, mama, you know you're due south. She did it so good, I thought she got a new mouth. Ooh. The flyers move out. Wings stop, pay for chicken wings. Fuel up, we on a new route. Ooh. Check your compass, mama, you know you're due south. Yeah. She did it so good, I thought she got a new
hey,
mouth.
Yo, yo. Pull the tools out. Click. Push the hammers off. She got still brings. Ooh. 4 grams of salt. You address your man, damn, know the man the ball. King. Try to get one over on the man, get ran across. Sipping champagne. Bubbly. The crazy bitch, bad. My knowledge in the game, gang. Bound to make you rich. Caught a witch dame, boss is trying to take a trip. Hop aboard the yacht, looking like a Navy ship. Atlas. Get the money long, money. Tore the planet Earth. Use a bigger threat, and then you can't handle first. Use a fucking fool, thinking that you can't get murked. Drop the nigga quicker than the Panamera skirt. We hit the home base, shining like it's Kodiak. Shining. I used to hustle dope, wait, now it's mostly crack. And brought a OC back. Jumping. Trying to get you full, homie. You can hold
the
rap.
The flyers move out. Wings stop, pay for chicken wings. Fuel up, we on a new route. Check your compass, mama. You know you're due south. Oh, yeah. She did it so good, I thought she got a new mouth. Ooh. The flyers move out. Wings stop, pay for chicken wings. Fuel up, we on a new route. Check your compass, mama. You know you're due south. She did it so good, I thought she got a new mouth.
As long as flight mode is turned on. This must continue until an announcement is made at the end of our flight at our destination. Thank you.
Cabin crew, please prepare for gate departure.
Hey yo, late night on the street like Cardi looking for a 50, got 43 shorts and getting me right. I wanted all the luxuries ever since I was knee high. Them other niggas timid to go get it, but yo, he might. Side street picture with pistol ducking judicial. Take a sniff, the work got kicked like jujitsu. Since the jit beneficial, learn how to fish. Taking risks, hand over fist, blowing kush miss. Did dips off the edge of the bed in the cell, reading mail. Now I'm on tracks, fucking your brain cells. Pulling pretty dames, excelling where you lames fail. Streets been had all the sauce, the game stale.
jail. Use the same scale, still making cocaine sales. Some Bucktown and Wales, name ring bells. Red eyes behind gazelles. Got bitches nothing on themselves. My mind's like a diamond from Zales. All hell, nigga.
Hey, little soldier, you ain't ready for war.
Ask your friends who's the illest.
The wickedest thing you ever heard of.
Yeah.
Hey, little soldier, you ain't ready for war.
Ask your friends who's the illest.
The wickedest thing you ever heard of.
You know what time it is? Yo, who it be, son? Dr. Freeze with the cold shoulder. Jack Boy started shit, then they resold it. Shorty working in the telly till her knees swollen. Piece of my dude, wrong streets, we in the streets roaming. The gunners go crazy on the road. Some saw they saw the push that Mercedes in the snow. We 89 babies on the stove. At the beach show, I spilled gravy on the low. Catch a few of my dude, I got the order waiting. We the ones to get the crime wave orchestrated. Same ones fronting, they can't afford the payment. Move smart, know the feds well coordinated. They move us out the corner with the spotlight. I'm trying to hit the dealership, see what the lot like. I'm trying to hit the marina, see what the yacht price. I can see you never made it through them long nights.
Hey, little soldier, you ain't ready for war.
Ask your friends who's the illest.
The wickedest thing you ever heard of. Hey, little soldier, you ain't ready for war.
Ask your friends who's the illest.
The wickedest thing you ever heard of.
Although I'm in my own lane, they say the bars are neoclassical, vivid and graphical, still is masterful on my casual, ripping the track or two, seems impractical for you rappers, Duke MC and tactical, grammatical, silent assassin who's problematical, always smash the booth like a savage dude, metabolism's cannibal, so the punishment's capital, puffing on that botanical, herbal mellows my attitude, nothing to compare me to, cross the longitude and latitude, this here is classical, big pun, Christopher Rios, thoughts from my cerebro, like Fido, Kilo's up at Eco, my man Tadito, do you like Pacino, playing Carlito, Spanish mommy on the D-Lo, Tranquilo on Puerto Rico, my flows lethal and the competition no Rio. In New York they say I'm fuego, Chicago they say I'm frio. For my people from the extra Rio out to San Marino, I'm 100% Moreno but just killed it by lingo.
Pull out the gauge, pops pull out the gauge, about to pull
number
out
one.
The gauge,
never leave this
pull out the gauge.
Number two,
about to pull out
it's
the
home crew. Number three,
about to pull out
I have
the
this
gauge.
One, trust,
about to pull out the gauge.
Number four,
about to pull out the gauge.
Supernatural lyrically, typically spit it vividly, wicked with wittiness while they wondering about my wizardry. Wonderful wordplay winning while I'm dropping my wisdom. Be witness me wilding on, I'm putting rappers out their misery. Wizard wordsmith, wondering why they want it willingly. I'm hip hop's epitome, wait until they get a whiff of me. Waging war like an ultimate warrior when I'm ripping. Be watch me wash all these niggas that be wishing they could get with me. What's up with all these Willy Wonka rappers? They be killing me. Candy bar spitters, whack writtens, and got the tendency to water down whatever. Whenever you niggas ready, gee, I wish a nigga would if he wanna try to contend with me. Beef boy status, wild style, my type of energy, catching wreck at the Roxy, whooping rappers that offended me. Ain't gotta worry in the world, this here's my specialty. My flow's a WMD, I got
about
the recipe.
The
number five,
about to pull out the gauge.
Love to get you
about to pull out the gauge.
See this?
About to pull out the gauge. 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 About to pull out the gauge.
Pull out the game. Don't ever take the panties out of this bitch. All right, let's get out of here.
Underground master speak.
Yo, D, what's up?
Just chilling.
You the rest of them ghetto boys are rain, man.
Okay, hold them down. Ghetto boys.
Hey.
Hey, what's happening, Jay? What's up, man?
Say, look here, I got Willie D on the other end, man.
What's up, Will? What's up, fellas? What's up now? Man, we just kicking it cool.
Look here, brother. I've been kicking a few lyrics in the back of my mind, man. And I'm tired of people disrespecting us because we're black on and won't sell out.
Word.
So check this out. We need to get together, go to that other level of the game, and do it like a G.O.
Say one more tape on the telephone, man. Get the message.
Well, let's make them all for the game.
I'm back like a rebel making trouble. I'm an assassin, kicking ass on the double. No motherfucker alive's gonna stop me. So fuck you and your goddamn posse.
It's time to step on some motherfucking toes.
Nah, dude.
Man, fuck them hoes. These coasts ain't playing, I saw them. I wanna know what the hell's going on. Give me my card, radio sucker. I'll kick your ass and take the motherfucker. Everybody know New York is where it began. So let the ego shit in. Black radio is being dissolved. Not by the other race, but it's sold. A lot of bullshit records make hits. Because of who you know, cats throwing politics. Accent is my identity. Whoever you be. Columbia. They put him on the streets like a bitch. Niggas slaying but the Puerto Rican getting rich. I never sold them this. But if I did, it would be for my goddamn self. Can you adjust to the wholesale bus? Bush would tell these motherfuckers what's up.
When will you stupid motherfuckers learn? In this game, one way or another, you get burned. You end up behind bars or lying on your back in a motherfucking morgue. And you'll gallop on another nigga. But a low acting bitch ain't nothing but a gold digger. I don't fuck, but my money's a no-no. I'm a hoe, so I do like a
about shit like racism. It's deep into the heart of the school system. Whites get more funds from the state, and this is why minorities learn so late. Some of us make it to college and take a test to the highest degree with limited knowledge. Most of us won't pass the bitch, and those rotten ass motherfuckers know this. I'm not Malcolm X or Farrakhan. After this one, I guess I'll have to pack a gun. So if you wanna fuck with this brother, you better be ready, motherfucker. You're gonna have to go, 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 go.
Say, Jay, this is the president of Wide On Records. I see you're still surviving, but you had to keep Willie D and them ghetto boys quiet. If you don't, then we will. Well, here's another alternative now. We take 95% of your company, and you take 5%, and we'll make you famous within 10 years. And take your lifetime by yourself, because you know colored people don't stick together. Now, what you think about that, boy?
Man, fuck you.
Now, I would advise you not to talk to me like that. Now, just who the hell you think you are anyway?
They call me Lil' J. I ain't to be played with. And if you wanna go to war, I'll take you to war.